We're holding on Chaf Beis Amud Beis, the second line of the medium sized lines, so 7 lines from the bottom. And we're in the middle of talking about various things where the kriya or avelus for parents is different than for other relatives. We went through a bunch of sishdinim. So now one more of Omer Kriya Ba'ava Omer Yechon. I'll call a mason kulon mibifnim. When it comes to all other mason except for parents, then the kriya is mibifnim. Now Rashi explains that bifnim means, in other words, that he doesn't have to do the kriya on the outside of the on the outside garment where everybody's going to notice it. He's allowed to like cover it with his coat and then do the kriya underneath it. So later on, he's going to be walking around, people will see that the clothing is torn, but right at the time, they don't have to see it. As opposed to, and then for parents, he has to do the kriya on the outside, he has to do the kriya in a way that's clearly visible to everybody. A different explanation of bifnim that a number of rishonim have is that it means that with the other ones, you can do the kriya in private. Mibifnim would mean in private, in an inside room, whereas for parents, you have to do it mibachutz, in full view of everybody. So Amar Rav Chista v'chein v'nosi. So Rav Chista says that same concept, that it has to be mibachutz, is also when the nosi passes away. So the Gemara says, Mesi, I have a contradiction. A Braisa says, loy hushful over v'le'imoy, a braisa says that they, meaning we're going to talk in a second now, we're going to bring a braisa about various high-level Talmid Chachamim, a Nasi, an Avestin, a Chacham, etc., where when they pass away, that a person has to also do, has to do Kriya and follow to the Dinim of Avelus to a certain extent. So the braisa says they're only similar to his father and his mother, only as far as permanently sewing up the kriya, the tear in the clothing, where for parents we said yesterday that for most other relatives you're allowed to sew it up permanently after 30 days, but the kriya for parents you're never allowed to. So the braisa is saying that that all of the other ones that we're listing in the braisa that we're going to list in the braisa, the nasi, the abestin, and so forth, all of them are the halachas for them are not similar to parents. The halachas for them are only like other relatives, or even less, because you only do avelus for a short time for them. But with the exception of ichui, that just like with the parents, you're never allowed to completely stitch it. You're never allowed to permanently stitch up the garment. So it is also when you ripped it for them. So my lava feel a little nasi. Doesn't the braisa mean even for a nasi? So that would mean, in other words, that even for a nasi, the other rule that applies specifically to parents don't apply to him. And one of them is that the kriya has to mean bachutz. And the answer is lavami nasi, not necessarily. The braisa may mean that a nasi is as far as that goes, exactly the same as the parents, as far as that the kriya has to be done in bachutz. When it's saying that it doesn't apply to the other ones, it means the avestin, the chacham, and so forth. It doesn't necessarily refer to the nasi. So the nasi has to be done on the outside as well. So either, as we said, on the outside, meaning that you have to have the garment that's being ripped visible when you rip it, or it means it can't be hidden under your coat, or it means that the kriya has to be done in public, in full view of everybody, not in a private room. So the Gemara gives an example. Masiya Shchiv, one time the nasi passed away. Rav Chista told Rav Chanan bar Rava, or on a side of it here, it says a different girsa, Rav Nachman ba'asi, kafi asisa, turn over a mortar. As we talked about the other day, a mortar is a big container that's used for grinding and crushing things. So you turn it over, it makes a nice, it's pretty big. You can sit on it or you can stand on it. So turn one of those over so you have a high place to stand on, the kumala, and stand up on it, the achi, kriya la'alma, and demonstrate to everybody, kriya, show that you're doing the kriya in public because the nasi passed away. It's an interesting point that the Gemara doesn't mention the name of this nasi who passed away. Dirtus Rishonim has a very interesting take on that. The earlier Nisiyim, beginning where when the first Nisiyim we have are the ones that the Zugis mentioned in Pirkei Avos. You have Yosef ben Yezer, and then Yeshua ben Prachya, and then Shimon ben Shattach, and so forth. And then afterwards you have Hillel and his descendants. Originally, the idea was that the Nasi was the highest level, or one of the highest level, Talmid Chachamim, of the generation. Eventually, after the time of Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, who was the grandson of Rebbe, after that, there started to be a drop in the quality of the Nasiyim. We find, for example, that there was a second Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, who was also a Talmid Chacham, and is mentioned a lot of times in the Gemara, but we find in various places that he seems to be subordinate to the Chachamim of his times in terms of knowledge of Torah, because he didn't know as much as they did. So apparently what happened was, by the time we reached this Nasi, who would have been a son or grandson of that Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, things were so bad that he doesn't even, so to speak, he didn't even deserve to be mentioned by name in the Gemara. He was the Nasi, and therefore everybody had to mourn for him, but he wasn't such a high caliber Talmid Chacham. So that's what we mean then, in other words. So we have then, in other words, most of the dinim that we've talked about so far apply. You have a din for the parents and a din for all other relatives. When it comes to the Nasi, he's similar to parents, we're saying now, in that the Kriya has to be done in public. But the other dignitaries, the Avdestin and the Chacham and so forth, even that doesn't apply, and you're allowed to do the Kriya in private. Another din, al chacham cholif yamin, when a chacham passes away, Rashi explains the chacham means the rov of the city, where people come to him with shailas and to teach him Torah. So cholif yamin, so when he passes away, then the person does chalitza on the right. We talked about yesterday that you have one of the dinim of Avelus in those times was that you would expose your shoulder in a sign of Avelus. We talked about that, you take your clothes at that point and take them off so that your shoulder is bare, or even that you stick your hand out through the tear in the garment so that your shoulder is visible. So for a Chacham, you do that from the right side. When the Av Bastin passes away, then you do it on the left side. The left side is considered, for this purpose, more important, the Ritva says, because they used to have the way they wore their clothing in those times, they would drape more over the left shoulder. So sort of like when you put on a talus, you drape the tzitzis over your left shoulder, and then you put them on normally. So when you're tearing on the left and exposing the left shoulder, it's more noticeable than on the right. Another point is also your heart is on your left. And in fact, the Rambam says that when a Nasi or an Av Beis Din passes away, you have to expose your heart. You have to tear Kriya enough to expose your heart, which is also, like we learned yesterday, is true of parents. So that might be based on this Gemara over here, which is saying that you tear on the left because the reason for tearing on the left would be because that's the side where the heart is. Anyway, al Nasi, we can. When it comes to the Nasi passes away, then you have to do chalitza of both shoulders. So you're leaving both shoulders uncovered. As far as parents, by the way, the Rosh says, the Gemara is not saying over here. So apparently the idea is, we learned at the top of the Amud yesterday, we said that for his parents, he has to be chalitz, with the exception we said where there's a gadol ador over there and beneath his dignity or whatever, but it doesn't say in the Gemara which one. So apparently for parents, you can do either one. Tanan Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, Chacham Shemes, when the Chacham, again, like Rashi said, the Rav of the city, when he passed away, Beis Medrashe Bottle, his Beis Medrash's Bottle, meaning those who regularly learn Torah by him, are not learning Torah. And a reason for that is because they should be involved in the Hesed for him. So therefore we don't want them to be learning Torah because they should be involved in doing the Hesed for him. And another reason is also to demonstrate how much we've lost by him. Like now we're not even able to learn Torah because he passed away. That's showing how hard it hit us. Av based in Shemesh, when the Av based in passed away, called Batim Medrash should be irritated. Then all the Batim Medrash in the city where he lived are all bottled during the week of Shiva. When the people come to shul, then they change their seat. They don't sit in their usual places. Hayoshim Atzof and Yoshim Adorim, the ones who usually sit on the north side of the shul, instead sit on the south side. Hayoshim Adorim, Yoshim Atzofin, and the ones who usually sit on the right, on the south side, instead sit on the north side. So everybody changes their place as a sign of avelos, like we can't even be in our regular places anymore. Nasi Shemesh, when the Nasi passes away, then Bata Medrash is Kulam Tevin. Then all the Bata Medrash are Bata during the time when they're doing the Shiva, because again, then they're supposed to be doing Haspedim for him. Uvnei HaKnesses Nichnosan Leves HaKnesses, the people who regularly go to Shul, they go to Shul, the Kodin Shiva, the Yotzin, they lay seven aliyahs in the Torah, the Yotzin, and then they leave. In other words, they don't do the whole tefillah b'tzibur. So some of the Rishonim learn that it would mean the rest of the tefillah they do in private, yichidus. Others say that it means that they would do the rest of the tefillah in the Nasi house, in the Shiva house, and only on Shabbos are they going to shul. With that said, there is the Rivivon, one of the Rishonim, who wrote a Pirush on the Rif. And he also wrote an independent Pirush. He also wrote an independent Pirush on Moed Katan. He has a Girsa over here, not Shiva, but Shema. That according to him, they go into Shul, they say Shema, so at least they can do that with Tzibur, and then they leave and they daven the rest either be Yechidus or in the Nasi's house. Different Rishonim discussed, do we mean that only on Shabbos do they go to Shul, and on weekdays they don't go to Shul, and weekdays during the week of Shiva for the Nasi, do they not go to Shul at all? Or do we mean that on weekdays they go also? And the point is, we're saying that even on Shabbos, they only do this. They still show a degree of avelus by only laying in the Torah, and then, because they have to do that b'tzibur, and then leaving. Okay, Rabbi Yeshua ben Kocha. Remember, Rabbi Yeshua ben Kocha says you should realize when we're saying Batim Adrash is Palin, and we're saying that people are leaving the shul, Moshe Yochel b'tayl b'shul. We don't mean that now they're going to say, well, we have nothing better to do. Let's go walk around in the marketplace and enjoy ourselves. Ela Yoshim Medoymin. Rather, when the Nasi passes away, outside of the time when they're davening, they sit there and they're quiet as a sign of mourning. And then the Braisa continues, the Ein Oimim Shmua Vagoda Beveis Ha'ovel. You don't say Shmuas, meaning teachings of Halacha or Agabda, in the Beis Ha'ovel. On the other hand, Omru Olivar, Rav Hanani Ben Gamliel, Shal Yoim Shmua Vagoda Beveis Ha'ovel. They said about Rav Hanani Ben Gamliel that he did. Now, what is this case referring to? And what do we mean that we know you're only not allowed to say Shmuel Vagoda? We learned earlier in the Perek that the Oval is not allowed to be learning Divrei Torah at all. So there's two major explanations. One is that this Ve'ein Omer Shmuel Vagoda, Beveis Oval, is continuing on the theme of what happens when the Nasi or the Avestim or the Chacham passes away. That was saying, just like the Batei Medrash, just like his Beis Medrash or all the Batei Medrash in the city, etc., are Batel the same way in his house where they're sitting Shiva. You don't say Shmuas and Agabda, as opposed to elsewhere in the city. And then Rabbi Chananel ben Gamliel says that you could. You can't be teaching halacha, but you could be talking in words of Torah. Maybe not with the Ovo, but at least the Avelim among themselves. The visitors among themselves who are not related to the Nasi. So they're coming to be Menachem Ovo, so they might be able to. The other explanation is that this Ein Omrim Shmuel Vagoda Beveis Ha'ovel is meant more generally, not just when the Nasi passes away, but more generally that in a Shiva house, you don't, even though you're talking with the Ovel and you're being Menachem Ovel, but you don't discuss with him Shmuel, Shmuel Vagoda. Lamaisa, people are not always so particular about that. The Frat, we learned a few days ago that there are areas of Torah that an Ovel is allowed to learn, and therefore you do often find that at Shiva houses they do sometimes talk in certain things of Torah and certain things of Agadah. We find during the various times when the Rebbe was in Avelos and during the various times in the early years when he went to the Menachem Ovel, they would frequently talking about the Rebbe would be talking about or he and the Ovel would be talking about various aspects of Torah. One reason might be because the halacha is like the Hanani ben Gamliel, but another point is also that many times when they're doing that, this also includes learning Mishnayos in the Oval's house, for example, they're doing it Ilui Nishmas, the Nifter, so that's different. Here we're talking about where they're doing it just for the sake of learning, so that maybe that you wouldn't do unless we say the halacha is like Rav Hanani ben Gamliel. But when you're doing it Ilui Nishmas, the Nifter, then that might be different. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Tanan Abanon, Oval, Shabbos Rishona Eni Yotzim Pesach Beisim. During the first week of the Avelos, or the first Shabbos of the Avelos, he doesn't leave his house because he's sitting Shiva. Shnia Yotzev in a Yoshev in Mekomo. During the second week, he can go out and he can start going to Shul again, but he doesn't sit in his regular place. And Hagois Avach adds the words, the Enim Medaber, and he doesn't speak. In other words, even though he's sitting in Shul, he doesn't talk with people in Shul like he normally would. Shlishis Yoshev b'mekayim v'ena medaber. The third week is already allowed to sit in his regular place in shul, but he still doesn't speak. Revius hareo kachol adam. But the fourth Shabbos, and the fourth Shabbos over here means even though it's still in the middle of shloshim, four Shabbosim is a many times you're going to have the fourth Shabbos is going to be within shloshim because four Shabbosim only cover 28 days. So you're often going to have that it's before the end of shloshim, but still hareo kachol adam at that point is like anybody else. And he can sit in his normal place in shul and talk like normal. That's the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, loy hutzruchu loy mashabbos rishona loy yetzim pesach beisoy. Rabbi Yehuda says they didn't need to mention that on the first Shabbos he can't leave his house. Sharei akol nechnos on the beisoy. Of course, everybody's coming to him to be menachem avol, so there's no question that he's not going out. Ella shliya any yetzim pesach beisoy. Rather, we have to move everything down 1 week. So the second week, says Rabbi Yehuda, he still doesn't leave his house. The first Shabbos, he's sitting Shiva, and we're going to talk about soon, about the question of how much Avelos applies on Shabbos. So the first Shabbos, Rabbi Yehuda is saying he's still in Shiva. The second Shabbos, he's out of Shiva, but nevertheless, Rabbi Yehuda says he still doesn't go out. Shlishis, Yotzev Eni Yoshev B'Mekomo. The third week, he goes out, but he doesn't sit in his place. Revius Yoshev B'Mekomo. The fourth week he sits in his regular place, but he's still not speaking. And only the fifth Shabbos is he like everybody else, says Rabbi Yehuda. So Tosfos discusses the question, is the halacha like Rabbi Yehuda, or is the halacha like the Chachamim? And Tosfos also says, maybe when we say the halacha, if we say that the halacha is like the Chachamim, maybe what we mean is, only if he sits in his place, then he's not going to be able to be medaber. When you say over here, Yoshev b'mekomo, there ain't a medaber, so maybe what it means is, but if he's sitting someplace else, then he would be allowed to be medaber. And Tosfos brings, in fact, that Rav Yitzchok, the Ri, the Ri, one of the early Balei HaTosfos, used to do that. And when he was in when he was doing shloshim, then so afterwards when he came to shul, he would sit in a different place, and then that way, and then he would be speaking, because maybe the issue about speaking is only, in other words, if he's doing everything normally, if he's sitting back in his regular place and he's going to be speaking, then that would be a problem. But if he's sitting someplace else in shul, then that would be fine. What might I say? You don't always find nowadays that people change their spot in shul. Because we're going to talk about later on the concept of how much Avelos applies on Shabbos. In general, we say that we don't want to do Avelos but Fahestia on Shabbos, a public display of Avelos. So that might be a reason why you don't see people doing that. Another din, Tonon Abanon, Kol Shloshim Yom L'Nisuin, throughout Kol Shloshim Yom L'Nisuin, the 30 days after the death and burial of the relative, is a person is not allowed to get married. And that applies when any of his relatives passed away. Mesa Ishtoi, but if his wife passed away, also Lisa Isha Acheres, Ad She Yavra all of Shlosh Regolim. Then he's not allowed to remarry until three Regolim pass. Why three Regolim? So Tosfos says, first of all, because this way he has three Regolim without real Simcha, because he has a real Simcha when he's with his wife, and so now three regalim without her, then this way he's going to remember the love that he had for her and that she had for him, and therefore that he's gone three yom tovim without that. Another point, Tosfos says, if you want, by the time he remarries, you want him to a certain extent to forget his first wife. You don't want when he's having relations with his new wife that he's still going to be thinking about the old one. You're not supposed to do that. The Gemara tells us in Nedarim, in fact, that if a person does that, he has relations with one woman while thinking of another, then it has a very bad ruchniyistik effect on the children. Another point Tosfos says is also you want him to delay 3 Yom Tovim before getting remarried. This way, again, the point being that he, to a certain extent, forgets about his wife, about his first wife. This way also he's not going to mention her to his second wife and provoke her by mentioning, you know how much I miss and how much I remember my first wife. So you don't want to do that. So that's another reason for him to wait. It's another reason for him to wait 3 regalim before we marry. So 3 regalim. Rabbi Yehuda, regal rishon v'sheni also shlishi mutter. Rabbi Yehuda says you're only also to do it after for the first 2 regalim. By the time you come to the 3rd regal, you're allowed to. Now shlishi mutter doesn't mean, in other words, you can't marry during the regal. We learned that earlier in the Masechta. What Rabbi Yehuda means, in other words, is that by the time the 3rd regal comes, you're allowed to get remarried. Tosfos discusses the question, who would the halacha be like? Now, we have said a few times in the Perek, halacha kedivra amekel be'evil, but on the other hand, this isn't really evil. At this point, the avelus is over. Avelus for most relatives, including a wife, only lasts for 30 days. So at this point, it's not a matter of avelus. At this point, it's a matter of, that we said, that on the one hand, he shouldn't forget the love for his wife. On the other hand, he should forget her, and it shouldn't interfere with his relationship with his new wife. So therefore, that's different. So in fact, the halacha is like the chachamim in that. But continues the Braisa, v'im ein lo bonim. Now, if he doesn't have any children, so he hasn't been mekayim mitzvah piri v'rivya, mutar lisa la'alter mishum bitul piri v'rivya. Then he's allowed to get married right away because otherwise he's being mevatel from piri v'rivya. So therefore, we want him to get married as soon as possible. What does la'alter mean? Here you have machlokas whether it means that he can marry during the shloshim or whether it still means that he has to wait till after the shloshim. He nicha. And then here's another thing. What if his wife left him children? If his wife left him little children, so now he needs somebody to, he needs a wife to help him take care of the children. Then he's allowed to get married right away in order to take care of them. And here right away means even after the Shiva. In fact, Tosfos in one place discusses that maybe even they'd be allowed to get married during the Shiva.
Rabbi, I think we skipped a line. I think we skipped a line.
I did.
I think so.
No, it doesn't look like it.
You went to Parnassasim before Per Yuviriber. We went to Parnassasim before Per Yuviriber.
Okay. I thought I said it, but okay. V'im ein le bonim mutal. Thank you. If v'im ein le bonim mutal b'tzal alter mishum bitul piri v'rivya. If he doesn't have any children, then he's allowed to get married right away because of bitul piri v'rivya. And here you have a machlokas whether the alter means, does it mean that he's allowed to get married only after shloshim or maybe during shloshim. And then another one, he nichole bonim k'tanim. If he has little children, mutu litzel alter, then he's allowed to get married right away, mipnei panasasen, in order to take care of them. Here, la'alter definitely means that you're allowed to within shloshim, and there's actually a Tosfos in a different place in Yevamos that talks about the possibility that maybe it means even doing shiva. And the Gemara gives an example. It happened once that Yosef HaKoyen's wife passed away. And right there in the cemetery, after the Levaya, he says to her sister, go take care of your sister's children. In other words, he was proposing marriage to her. So we see that they're allowed to get engaged. They're allowed to do the kiddushin right there. But after the came, like But actually, but to have relations with her, that he didn't do until quite some time later. So my lizman meruba. What do we mean? How much time later? I'm going to couple after 30 days. So in other words, he did kiddushin with her right there on the spot. But the actual wedding, so she moved into his house and started taking care of the children. But the actual bia, he had to wait till after shloshim because that's already Kalos Rosh. Tosfos discusses over here now. Is he in fact allowed to marry her or do kedushin with her doing shiva? So one possibility, as we see from this story, that yes. On the other hand, Tosfos says this Yosef HaKoyen, we find him mentioned elsewhere in Shas that his wife passed away, and it mentions that that happened on Erev Pesach. It talks about the context the Gemara talks about in a different place in Zvachim is that he didn't want to become Tomei because he didn't want to miss bringing the Korban Pesach, and the Chacham told him you have to because a wife is one of the seven relatives that a Kohen has a mitzvah to become Tomei. Well then, if she passed away Erev Pesach, then Shtiva is canceled by Yom Tov anyway, so therefore that doesn't necessarily prove that that ordinarily he would be allowed to do it during the Shiva. The point is he doesn't have to wait Shalosh Regalim. He's allowed to marry much sooner because he has little children who he needs help taking care of them. Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, Kol Shloshim Yom Legihutz. The 30 days, during the days of Shloshim, then you're not allowed to do Gihutz. Now, we talked about earlier in the Masechta what Gihutz is, and there's two major explanations. One is that it means something in modern Hebrew, Gihutz means ironing, and many of the Rishonim say that's what it means. It means taking like a certain kind of stone or something, which is what they used in those days, and rubbing it along the clothing in order to smooth them out and give them a shiny appearance. The other explanation is that gihutz means washing them with certain kinds of detergents that do a really good job getting out the dirt. We learned also previously that the gihutz they did in Eretz Yisrael was much more effective than what they did in Babel, such that the gihutz they do in Babel is really considered only like the equivalent of kibbutz, of only regular washing in Eretz Yisrael. So now we're saying, during the 30 days, during the Shloshim, you're not allowed to do Gihutz. Echad Kelim Chadoshim, the Echad Kelim Yishonim Yotzim Metech HaMachish. That applies whether we're talking about new clothing or whether we're talking about old clothing that was in the press. They used to have in those times a type of press where we had two wooden boards that would be screwed together very tightly, and you'd put the clothes in them to press them, so they come out from that looking almost like new. So you're not allowed to do either of those during Shloshim. Rebbe Omer lo osur ela kelim chadoshim bovad. Rebbe says it's only new clothing that's also during the Shloshim, not the so old clothing that was repressed, says Rebbe, you'd be allowed to. Rebbe Lozav Reb Shimon goes further than that, and he says even within new clothes, it's only white ones that are also. New colored clothing would be even new colored clothing which you did gihutz on would be mutter during the 30 days. So the Gemara says Abaya nofek the gouda de sarvela kerevi. Now Abaya one time during the Shloshim he wore a gouda which was an old garment. A gouda de sarvela is an older garment. Which was it was older and they had done gihutz to it. So he held like Rebbe that only new ones are also, so therefore fine, this one is white, but it's old and it was pressed and it's no problem. Tosfos points out that even though we said gihutz shalon and kibbutz shalahem, that gihutz in Babel is of a much lower quality than in Eretz Yisrael, and here we're talking about in Babel, because Abaya lived his whole life in Babel. Nevertheless, though, Tosfos says, okay, maybe what it was is sometimes they had people came to Babel who knew how to do gihutz properly. So therefore, Abaya is saying, okay, it is doing Shloshim, but on the other hand, this Rebbe says that you're allowed to wear, that the Rebbe says that's only new clothing that you're not allowed to wear. This one is old, so even though they did Gihutz on it, I'm allowed to wear it. On the other hand, Rava nofek b'chimutz rumisa sumakta chadzi. Rava went out during Shloshim wearing a new red Roman shirt. So it was Roman, and they brought it from Rome, and it was red, so it's not white, and it was new, and Rava still wore it during Shloshim. which means Rabbi Elazar b'Reb Shimon, so he held like Rabbi Elazar b'Reb Shimon, that's only new white clothing, that's also new colored clothing would be mutter, even if they did dihurs, and therefore he did not. So like Rabbi Elazar b'Reb Shimon. Tosfos discusses a lot about the details over here of what exactly is and isn't mutter for an oval during the shloshim in terms of laundry. We learned previously that during Shiva, laundry is also, we said an oval is not allowed to wash clothes during Shiva, even in plain water. So now again, one possibility is that Gihutz means to wash it with detergents. So does that mean that during Shloshim then, you're not allowed to do that kind of, you're not allowed to do that kind of laundry? So Tosfos gets into a bit of an explanation about that and into a bit of a discussion about that. About to what extent is kibbutz, washing clothes allowed during shloshim. Lamaisa in Shulchan Aruch, what it says is that what you should do is during shloshim, if you're going to put on a new or newly washed garment, what you should do is then you should have somebody else wear it for a little bit first, and then you put it on, similar to the way we do with laundered clothes before the 9 days. You put them on for a little. In that case, you do it before the 9 days. In this case, doing shloshim, so you yourself can't do it, but you have somebody else puts it on for a minute, and then you put it on. Okay. And again, we're saying that's only with kelim chadashim levonim. With other things, it would be less of an issue. Okay, we said in the Mishnah, we said that Shabbos counts toward the 7 days of Shiva, but it doesn't interrupt the Shiva. So we said, in other words, for one thing, we brought from the Yerushalmi that says that it has to be, that's not mafsik, otherwise you're never going to have full 7 days of Shiva. So now the Gemara says, Bnei Yehuda or Bnei Galilah. The Chachamim of Yehuda, or the Chachamim of Yehuda and the Chachamim of the Galil, argued what it means when we say Shabbos Ola Ve'enim Afsekes. What happens as far as Avelos on Shabbos? Hani Amri, Yesh Avelos for Shabbos. One group said that there is Avelos on Shabbos. V'Hani Amri ain't Avelos for Shabbos, and the other one says that not. Now Tosfos explains that when we say yesh avelos or ein avelos for Shabbos, of course we don't mean the public displays of avelos. Those for sure, as we're going to talk about in more detail later on, are suspended on Shabbos. Primarily, we're talking about the dvarim shebetzina. Tosfos brings from Rashi, which is in Rashi Ksaviad, that yesh avelos, even according to the opinion, yesh avelos for Shabbos, it would only mean dvarim shebetzina. On the other hand, there are Rishonim who learn that maybe according to that opinion, it would mean even Dvarim Shabbat, even the public aspect of Avelos would apply on Shabbos. The Vahani Amri ain't Avelos for Shabbos, the other group says that there's no Avelos on Shabbos. Manda Amri Yesh Avelos for Shabbos, the opinion that says that Avelos applies on Shabbos, it says to Katani Ola. After all, the Mishnah says that Shabbos counts towards the Shiva. So therefore, that word Ola implies that the Avelos still continues on Shabbos, at least to a certain extent. Manda Oma Ein Avelos for Shabbos, the one who says it doesn't would say the Katani Ein Amav Sekhet. Fine, but it also says that doesn't interrupt. That doesn't interrupt. So therefore, so he would say, Isakudaitach Yesh Avelos for Shabbos. Now listen, obviously that means that there's no Avelos on Shabbos itself, because if there was, if you thought there was Avelos for Shabbos, Hashta Avelos Nagaf Sukhimibaya, then you would say, why would the mission even need to say it? If even Avelos applies, of course it doesn't interrupt the Shiva. So that opinion says that there is no Avelos on Shabbos. Again, according to Tosfos, Ein Avelos for Shabbos might mean that even Dvarim Shabbatzina are fine, and in that case, the halacha might be according to the opinion that Yesh Avelos for Shabbos, because as we're going to say later, there is a concept that certain things of Avelos are also on Shabbos, the Dvarim Shabbatzina. If we say Yesh Avelos for Shabbos means that there's the public displays of them, then of course the halacha is not like that. So the Gemara says, the Elo HaKatani Oila. So according to that opinion, that says that Avelos does not go on Shabbos. So we said according to the opinion that says that Avelos does not go on Shabbos and says because it says Einim Afsekes. So what does he do with Elo HaKatani Oila? So what does he do with the word in the Mishnah Oila, which implies like the first opinion said, that there is avelus on Shabbos, because we said it counts there. So he says, okay, I did the Kaboilim, this is the Sefer, in him Oilim, Tonaresha Oila. Fine, you could say because the Sefer of the Mishnah talks about Yomim Tovim and says that the Einim Olam, they don't count towards the Shiva, which, as we said earlier, meant that, for example, if the Ketira and the Kvura took place during Yom Tov or during Chol HaMoed, then Shiva is suspended until after Yom Tov. So we're saying Einim Olam, so therefore, for that reason, in the first part of the Mishnah, it uses the word Ola as well, but not to imply that there is any Avelos on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, "Omanda Omer Yesh Avelus for Shabbos." Now, what about the opinion the other way around? The opinion that says there is Avelus on Shabbos, Hakatoni Einim Apsekas. So after all, so again, we said each opinion is basing itself on a phrase from the Mishnah. One opinion is basing itself on the fact that it says Oila. The other one is saying because it says Einim Apsekas. So how is each one understanding the others? So now we just said, according to the opinion that says Ein Avelus for Shabbos, they say the Ola is only there because for parallelism with the second half of the Mishnah, where it says Regolim Afsikim Ein Olin. So therefore, it uses the word Ola in the first part of the Mishnah. So now the other way around, according to the opinion that there is Avelus on Shabbos, Hakatani Einim Afsekas. Doesn't the Mishnah say that it's not Mafsik, and that's how the other opinion says? Well, since it's not Mafsik, obviously, Avelus, if it has to say Einim Mafsik, obviously Avelus can't be in effect on it. Otherwise, it doesn't need to say Einim Mafsik. If you're doing Avelus on Shabbos, then of course it's not Mafsik. So according to the opinion that in fact you do Avelus on Shabbos, how do they understand that? Same thing. Mishum de Kaboy Lemis, the Seifa Mafsikin, Tonoresha, Einim Mafsekas. Same idea, because the first part of the Mishnah says Mafsikin. Therefore, the first part says Einim Mafsekas. So each one is saying that there's one phrase in the first half of the Mishnah, which is meant precisely to teach us about what the dinim of Avelus are on Shabbos, and then the other one is imprecise, and it's only there to be parallel with the second half of it. Tosfos brings over here, the Tosfos, Dibra Maschal Manda Omar, brings a bit of a different way of understanding the Sugya. But in any case, that's the point is, okay, you have these two opinions, what parts of Avelus are Noyag on Shabbos. Okay, the Gemara says, Lema Katanoi, can we say that these Bnei Yehuda and Bnei Golil, who are arguing what our Mishnah means, that they're actually following a Machlokes Tanoi? A Braisa says, Misha Mesei Mutal Lefonov, if a person's relative is lying there in front of him, so he passed away but he hasn't been buried yet, if he wants to eat, he has to eat in a different room. Because not derech eretz to eat in front of the mess. First of all, because he's supposed to be busy with arranging for the levaya and everything. And it's not covered a mess to be eating in front of him. Ein loy bayis acher, if he doesn't have another room to eat in, oichel b'beis chaveira, then he eats in his friend's house. Ein loy beis chaveira, if he doesn't have a friend available to eat in his house, then he makes for himself a mechitza, 10 tefachim tall, between himself and the mess. If he doesn't have anything available there to make a mechitza with, then okay, at least he turns his face to a different side, and then he eats. So as much as possible, he does it out of sight of the mess. He cannot recline and eat, because since at this point, after the mess passed away, before he's buried, he has the dinim of an oinin. So as an oinin, he has to show. So Avelos has not been chal, the actual dinim of Avelos have not been chal yet, but nevertheless, we don't want him to be reclining comfortably, because again, he's supposed to be busy with tzorchei hames. The ena oichel bosa, the ena shosu yayin, he's not allowed to eat meat and drink wine. So during Shiva itself, most of the poskim hold that he would be allowed to, but here, because it's aninus, so to a certain extent, we consider aninus to be more severe than avelus, and therefore we don't, therefore we don't allow him boss of a yayin. So Tosfos says what it is there's things that are because of Avelos, and then there are things that are not because of Avelos, but because he's supposed to be totally with Kvoras Mesa. We want him to be busy with dealing with the burial and everything, rather than getting involved in other things. So those are the things that we're asking to annoy him. So the Ein Mevorech, he does not say the bracha. The Ein Mezamen, he cannot lead a mezuman. The Ein Mevorech in all. So Mevorech would mean, among other things, it can mean that he would make the bracha. So it would mean that. So Rashi says Ein Mevorech means to be motzi other people. So b'chlal, we have a concept, an oinen, as the Gemara is going to say now, is potter from many mitzvahs. Again, with the idea being the chachamim want him to be working on kvoras hames. So therefore, they pattered him from most mitzvahs, in the sense of oisik for mitzvah, potter from a mitzvah. So Ein Mevorech, Rashi explains, he's not chayev, therefore he can't make a bracha to be motzi other people. Usually, for example, a bracha on food, you can, as long as you're eating the same food, you're allowed to make the bracha and be motzi other people, but he or not. So he doesn't do that. The Ein Mezamen, he cannot make a mezuman. The Ein Mezamen, the Ein Mevorechin Olav, the Ein Mezamen Olav. You don't make a bracha for him, and you don't make a zimun with him. So Rashi explains that, Tosfos brings over here from Rashi on brachas that Ein Mevorechin Olav means that they don't say the bracha amoti for him. And then Tosfos discusses that one explanation is Mevorchen and Mezamnin. Mevorchen would mean to make a Mezuman without Hashem's name when you have between 3 and 10. And Mezamnin would be when you make a Zimun with Hashem's name when you say Mevorch Avakeinu Shelchanu Mishalai. So therefore, we're saying that it would mean you don't do both of those. So now one idea behind all of this is that he should be Osef with Tzorchei Hames. Now, in that case, then the question becomes, what if he's not being Osef with it? For example, let's say his sister who was married passed away, and it's her husband that's making the arrangements. So you, the brother, or whatever other relative, are not really directly involved in the arrangements. So one idea is then in that case, maybe all these things he would be chayav in, because after all, he's not dealing with the burial. The other way of looking at it is that, no, it's because of the covered of the mess. So then it would apply even if he's not dealing with the arrangements himself. And the Braisa finishes off. The Braisa summarizes, the Braisa continues, O Potter, Kriyashmom, and Atfilom, and Atfilin, a person who is in the state of Aninus before the mess is buried, is Potter from Kriyashma, and from Tfilom, meaning Shmin Esrei, and from Tfilin, or Mekom Mitzvahs, Amoris Torah, and from all the other Mitzvahs in the Torah. Mitzvahs I say that is, Mephoshim explains, certainly we don't say he's allowed to do Mitzvahs Loisa, said during that time. On the other hand, the Braisa continues, over Shabbos. Now, if he's an Oinon on Shabbos, then it's different. Mesa v'oichel, then he is allowed to recline and eat because it's Shabbos. V'oichel bosa v'shoisi yayin, he is allowed to eat meat and drink wine. U'mevorech u'mezamen, he is allowed to make brachas for others, and he is allowed to make a mezuman. U'mevorech u'mezamen olav, and they can make brachas such as hamotzi for him, and they can include him in a mezuman. Or, as Tosfos says, mevorech u'mezamen olav, they can make a mezuman including him, whether it's a mezuman of 3 or whether it's a mezuman of 10. The chayev, the kriyashmo, the tefillah, the tefillin, he would be chayev since it's Shabbos. Then the dinim of aninus are suspended, so he is chayev in kriyashma and in tefillah and in tefillin. When we say tefillin over here, obviously has to be according to the opinion that Shabbos is not tefillin. Who, as we talked about the other day, according to since the halacha is you don't put on tefillin on Shabbos, then obviously he's not doing that. Over chol mitzvahs amuris b'torah, and he's chayev on Shabbos in all the other mitzvahs in the Torah. And the Braisa finishes off. Rav Gamliel Omer, Mitoshin is chayev ve'elim, is chayev ve'kulon. Since he's chayev in these things, we said he's chayev on Shabbos, even though he's an onan, he's chayev in Kriyashma and Tefillah and so forth. So he's chayev ve'kulon, he's chayev in all of them. Now, so the question is, where exactly are Rav Gamliel and the Chachamim arguing? It sounds like they both agree that he's chayev in the mitzvah Samuras Latorah. V'omer Rav Yechanan Tashmish Amiti Ikeminayu. So Rabbi Yechanan says the argument between Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim is about Tashmish Amitah. So In other words, according to the Chachamim, he's still osur, and even though he's chayev and shema and shmoneh esrei, and he can make brachas for people and so forth, nevertheless, the Tanakhama would say he's osur b'tash b'sham mikta, and Rambam Gamliel, who's saying that he's nischayev b'kulon, would say, listen, on Friday night, you have a mitzvah of oina, b'chalal, you have a person has a mitzvah of oina, he has to be available to be intimate with his wife at certain scheduled times. And in the Mishnah and the Gemara Ksubas, it talks about the schedule for various people. A Talmud Chacham, for example, is expected to do so every Friday night. You have some people who are actually chayiv every day, some who are chayiv once a week, etc. Anyway, the point is, if the oinah comes out Friday night, and he's an oinah, then Rambam Gamliel is saying he's chayiv an oinah. It's a mitzvah amur b'atorah. So therefore, whereas the Tanakhama is saying that not, the Tanakhama is only mentioning Kriya Shema and Tefillah and Tefillin and other such mitzvahs. So we see that there's machlokas whether Dvarim Shabbatzina, whether Tashma Shamita is Mutzah on Shabbos or not for an Oyen. So my lab b'hokamitzvi. So wouldn't that be the same as the machlokas of Bnei Yehuda and Bnei Golo that we're talking about before? Demar Sava Yesh Avelus B'Shabbos, Umar Sava Ein Avelus B'Shabbos. So to the Tanakhama would hold that Avelus still continues on Shabbos to a certain extent, therefore Tashmish HaMitah is also, and Rabbi Gamliel would hold that it's not, and therefore Tashmish HaMitah is Mutter. So the Gemara says, that's not a proof. Mimai, that's not necessarily a valid proof. Duma Ad Kama, Kama Tanakhama Hosam, Elamashim Demei Se Mutter Laponim. You know why the Tanakhama is saying he's also with Tashmish HaMitah on Friday night? Because the mess is still not buried yet. But in the case we were talking about before, where the mess was already buried and now we're in the middle of Shiva and Shabbos done, the body is not lying in front of him. Right. So maybe the Tanakhama would not say that he's also b'tashmish hamitah. Maybe the Tanakhama would say that it's fine. And vice versa. And vice versa, Rambam Gamliel might be mekel and allow him to do tashmish hamitah because after all, the avelos has not started yet. There's aninus and there's avelos, and here we're talking only in the stage of aninus. Avelos begins, as we learned yesterday, only after the burial, or if a person is not going to the burial, then after the mess has been transported outside the city. So, up till that point, it's aninus. So Rambam Gamliel might be saying, during aninus, we're going to be make on him and allow him tashmish hamitah when it's on Shabbos, but not during avelus. So there's not necessarily a proof one way or the other whether the Tanakhama and Rambam Gamliel are having the same machlokas as Bnei Yehuda and Bnei Golo, then not. So aval hocha the chayil avelus alei. So here we have in the case that we were talking about of Bnei Yehuda and Bnei Golo, where Avelus has already started, it's already doing Shiva, Hochinami, then maybe Rambam Gamliel would agree that Tashmish HaMitah is also on Shabbos during the days of Shiva. So further in this connection, the Gemara says, Bominei Rabbi Yochanan b'Shmuel. So Rabbi Yochanan asked Shmuel the following question. Yes, Avelus for Shabbos, or ain't Avelus for Shabbos? Does Avelus apply on Shabbos or not? Rabbi Yaakov Emdin, by the way, points out, we find that a Gemara in Chulin that says that Rabbi Yochanan never actually met Shmuel. The Gemara tells a story over there that after Rav passed away, then Rabbi Yochanan, so before that, Rabbi Yochanan had tremendous derech eretz for Rav, and he used to write to him very respectfully. After that, Rabbi Yochanan figured Shmuel is not on that level. He's not as great as Rav. So he started writing to him in a less derogatory way, but when he wrote to Rav, he would say Rabbeinu Shababavo. When he wrote to Shmuel, he would say Chavireinu, our colleague Shababavo. So the Gemara tells over there how eventually Rabbi Yochanan realized that actually Shmuel is a much greater Talmud Chacham than he, and he wanted to go and visit him, but in the end, then he was shown a siman min hashamayim not to. So he never actually met Shmuel, so necessarily this Bominer of Yechon and Shmuel would have to be that he sent him a letter. So is there Avelos on Shabbos or not? Amalei, ain't Avelos on Shabbos. So Shmuel says there was no Avelos on Shabbos. On the other hand, Yasvi, Rabbanan, Kameh, Rapapa, the Chachamim were sitting in front of Rapapa, the Ka'ami, Mishmei, the Shmuel, they were saying in the name of Shmuel, Oval, Shashimish, Mitosi, Dimei, Eblai, Chayiv, Misa. If an Oval does Tashmish, Amitah, during the days of his Shiva, and implying even on Shabbos, then he's Chayiv Misa. Rapapa says, there's a few things that you're getting wrong in that statement. First of all, osur itmar. First of all, it doesn't say that he's chayiv mitzvah. The correct thing would be to say that he's osur, but not more than that. Which actually, Gilyon Ashas asks, what's the chiddush in that? We already learned previously that an oval is osur in tashmish mitzvah. Okay, so maybe the point is that even on Shabbos, and Rishmeidir Rabbi Yechanan itmar. Also, you should know this statement that you're saying that it's osur is actually according to Rabbi Yechanan. Because, in other words, Tosca says, even though Rabbi Yochanan asked Shmuel the question, is there avelos on Shabbos or not? And Shmuel answered, there is not. Rabbi Yochanan did not accept that as a valid answer, and he continued to hold that it's osur. So now Rabbi Papa is telling the Talmidim, you should know, that's what Rabbi Yochanan says, that it's osur. Shmuel did not say it's osur. Shmuel actually would say that at least on Shabbos it's osur. Or Mishmei did Rabbi Yochanan Itmar. So what you heard, that it's osur. So first of all, to say that Chayiv Misa, that nobody said that at all. To say that it's osur, fine. Shmuel wouldn't hold that, but Rabbi Yochanan would. If there's something you heard in the name of Shmuel that something is osur during Shiva, and you say if you heard something in the name of Shmuel about somebody being chayiv misa, it must have been the following: that Omer of Tachlifa Barav Dimi Omer Shmuel Ovol Shleit Ponav Shleit Pirim Chayiv Misa. That if an oval does not let his hair grow long, and he does not tear his clothes, then he's chayiv misa. Shenema, the pasuk says, "Rasheichem al tifro uvigdeichem lo sifroim uvelo samlosivogem." The pasuk says, after Nadav and Avihu passed away, Hashem tells Aaron and Elazar and Isamar, he tells them, "Don't let your hair grow long, don't tear your clothes, and velo samlosu, and you won't die." So imply now the context over there is saying that don't let your hair grow long and don't rip your clothes because you're doing the avodah in the Mishkan, and therefore if you were to do the avodah in the Mishkan with long hair or torn clothes, you'd be chayiv misa. But nevertheless, we can also darshan from it ha'achar shalay parav shalay pirim chayiv misa. So implying that if there was anybody else other than Elazar and Isamar who didn't let his hair grow long and didn't tear his clothes, then he would be chayiv misa. So it's an asmach that Tosfos says. So the Papa says, so you apparently you heard somebody say in the name of Shmuel that there's something that if an oval does it, he's chayiv misa. That must be what you heard because Shmuel himself holds that an oval is mutter and tashmish and mitzah on Shabbos during Shiva. The one who says it's osur is actually Rabbi Yechanan. So to finish off that discussion about what about tashmish and mitzah, what's osur and what's mutter. So Omer Rav from Papa, Tona oval Ravsi. The Evil Rabsi. We learn in Evil Rabsi, which is another name for Masechtas Smachos, because it's Masechtas Smachos, we call it that because Smachos, we like to call it with a nice name, which means Simcha, whereas the topic of it is Avelos. But the real name for it is Evil Rabsi, the big Masechta, it's one of the Masechtas Tanis, but big, relatively speaking, on the Halachas of Avelos. So we learn in a Braisa from there, Oval also the Shamash Mitzvah in Me'er, right? And also is not allowed to do Tashmish Amitah during his Avelos, during Shiva. And in fact, it once happened, there was somebody who did that during the time of his Avelos, the Shomtu Chazirim Eskriyosai, and later on, his punishment was that pigs dragged away his body. In other words, after he passed away. Rashi brings another explanation that Biyosai means his Aver, like they, after he, the Pashas, it would mean after he died, that pigs came and yanked his Aver off his body. Either way, in other words, the point was that because he did wrong by doing tashmish amitta during Shiva. So we see that it is also. So we'll talk about, we'll continue talking on Matzoi Shabbos, what exactly does apply and doesn't apply on Shabbos, and then we'll continue from there. But as far as Dvarim Shabbatzina, or Noyag on Shabbos during Shiva, which includes in particular tashmish amitta, is also. So like Rabbi Yochanan says that it's osur, not like Shmuel says it's mutter.
Yes, Shkoyach, a good Shabbos.